Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Look Up. My wife and I are live in studio once more on this Wednesday afternoon. And it's nice and cool outside. I'm enjoying winter. I hope you do, too. You know, that's one
as
of the things.
As long as we're safe.
Well, yeah, it's the driving. People driving crazy gets scary. But I like a little bit of brisk, the change of pace. I love the seasons. And so Linda and I are enjoying that together as long as we're safe. So listen, where we've been in the last couple weeks is we've covered everything from dealing with grief, the loss of a loved one. We've dealt with how do you deal with grief in the holidays? As many of you, along with us, we've lost somebody we love, and now we have our Christmas, our Thanksgiving, our holiday seasons. And we realize, you go through the first one, even the first couple holidays without your loved one, you really feel it. You really feel that they're not with you. And so we shared with you a little bit about the loss of our daughter. We've had some testimonies. We've got some more testimonies coming from people that we know and love who are going to share about that as we approach Christmas as well. We did then talk a little bit about how to survive the holidays when you have to spend your holidays with maybe people who are a little bit difficult to get along with. You know, those irregular people in your life, those difficult people who, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, it's relatives. When you have family gatherings, it's supposed to be warm and fuzzy and wonderful, but it isn't always that way, is it? Sometimes you get together with your family and friends or your family on your holidays, and there's always that crazy uncle or that difficult brother or sister. There's always somebody who you go, I hope he doesn't start up again this Christmas around the dinner table, you know. And so we talked a little bit about that yesterday. And we plan on going one more step further today and maybe talk a little bit about, Linda suggested that from my message Sunday, I talked a lot about from James chapter 3, the importance of controlling your tongue, the power of the tongue to wound or to heal. And so maybe that's another step we should take in talking about when you spend time during the holidays with family, friends, coworkers, office parties, whatever. Boy, oh boy, how we need to watch our tongue. It makes all the difference in the world. So I'm going to have Linda tell you how you could communicate with us on any of these things, because we certainly want to hear from our listeners. And then, of course, we're going to get into this topic a little bit. But Linda, why don't you take it from here?
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here with you today. Now, I want to tell you, yesterday we were supposed to have Dr. Stephen Todd on again, our dear, dear friend. He's known Mike longer than I've known Mike, okay? And he was going to share with us about Christmas. I don't know if you heard his one on Halloween. We played it again on Monday because he was supposed to call back Tuesday and give us a full talk about Christmas, whether the history or whatever he has to say. I love Steve's perspective on things because he is so knowledgeable, and I think it really helps us. But he ended up getting really sick. But I do want to tell you, we have rescheduled him for next Tuesday. So Tuesday, listen in, and we will have Dr. Stephen Todd speaking about Christmas. And then on Wednesday next week, we will have the O'Briens in, who live in the Boise area here and have lost their son in February of this year. It's very tragic. They're going to come in and share their story. And this Friday, we have another pastor, Dallas Claypool, and his wife is going to come in and share about losing their son a little over a year ago. We don't want to make this a really sad show, but you know what? You need to hear their stories. You need to hear what people are going through, that you may not have it all so bad. because these people have gone through losing, tragically, a loved one, and they keep going. They keep going for the Lord. They keep serving the Lord. They're giving glory to the Lord. And just like us, they have broken hearts. Yes, our hearts still broken, okay? And you see it come out when we're talking here and there. But we are going to let the Lord use this tragedy for His glory. And we really hope that you guys have been blessed by us being candid, by opening ourselves up and sharing our story. And for those that, well, I know that so many have, because you've told us that you've been blessed by the things that we've shared through this. We're not the only ones who have gone through something horrific. So we want to give them a platform to be able to share with you too. Okay, so you have a lot to look forward to. We've been trying to arrange interviews so that we bring something different. You're not just having to listen to us. Okay, so what we do want, because yesterday we talked about, in light of, we don't know what our family relationships are going to be like in heaven, so we need to really love our families here and now. Then we talked about, in light of that, getting together for the holidays, because we don't all have pleasant relatives to get together with. And how do you handle that? So that's what our talk was about yesterday. And we want to open the phone up today. If you have a very difficult person that you are basically forced to spend the holidays with because they are family, and how have you handled it? Okay. Or if you're going to have to, and you don't know what to do, you're dreading, you don't want to go to Christmas because you know this person's going to be there, and you want some suggestions on how do I handle, this is what they always do, how do I handle it? Give us a call today. We would love to talk with you. The number here is 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. That will put you live on the air with us today. And if you can't handle the live on the radio thing, send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagles phone 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, you feel free to go ahead and leave a comment. Now, before I pass it over to Mike, I know I keep telling him I'm not going to start off the show and take the whole thing, and here I go. But I do want to acknowledge the funeral that took place this morning on national TV. I don't know if you guys watched it, if you get a chance to go back and watch it. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
It was powerful.
It was powerful. Christ was spoken of, almost preached, I feel, you know. I mean, it was really good. And I did well until Michael W. Smith was singing the song Friends. Oh, my. I would cry no matter what. Because that song is dealing with a parting. We've been in a lot of things where they sing it at graduations and you have to let friends go. He hardly made it through the song. He was breaking on the very last words and had to cut it short. So it was just powerful if you get a chance to see it. And you know what I noticed from this is some of those extremely liberal news commentators out there were saying there was a message said today. I hope America listens to it. The liberals were saying it. The message that was basically preached is, yes, why don't we all just get along? And we watched it with all them presidents that can't stand each other sitting together in the front row
all
there.
All in one row together.
All in one row together. But Christ was preached, and it was kept no secret that George Bush's life was about the Lord. So if you get a chance, watch it. Pray for this country, because maybe this would soften up some of those hard hearts to actually look to the Lord. So I just wanted to share that. I wanted to acknowledge that today. He was one of our presidents when we were younger. We went through all this. He accomplished a lot. And he got ignored a lot until now everybody's pointing it out. And you're like, oh, yeah, he did that. Oh, my gosh, he did that. He did this. He did that. Wow, he did a lot, and I am so glad that they are giving him do praise today. So, okay, Mike.
Yeah, well, going along with that, I was thinking as you were explaining about, you know, we're talking about the loss of a loved one. We're talking about losing a loved one into the holidays. But, you know, here we just saw H.W. Bush's, you know, funeral. And it just reminds us everybody's going to die. And we need to live in such a way that we realize our life is temporary and make the best of it. Life is short. For George W. H.W. it was pretty good. He lasted pretty long. But you know, life is short, relatively speaking, comparatively. And why did we talk about the loss of a loved one during Christmas time when we should be talking happier thoughts? Well, one of the things that hit me as I'm looking at the funeral of Bush, I'm thinking, you know what? If you've lost a loved one, you know the pain of dealing with the loss of a loved one at Christmas. And if you haven't lost a loved one, you will. You know, I mean, since everyone's going to die, we're all headed down this road. We all will one day or another experience the loss of a loved one. And someday your friends and relatives will experience your loss. And so it's something I think is quite appropriate to deal with as we approach Christmas season, because that's when all the memories come up, and that's when we realize who's not with us at Christmas. And then the new year starts, and we realize who's not with us in the new year. And so we will talk a little bit about that, but we're going to talk about happier things as well. It's funny, Linda encouraged me to go ahead and share some of the thoughts from Sunday's message. One of the funny things that happened, I love to try to think of a proper title for my Sunday messages. Sometimes I try to be clever, and not often does it work. Sometimes I try to just find something different so it's not just James chapter 3. You know, it was James chapter 3, the first 12 verses. And so I titled it, The Biggest Troublemaker in the Church. And when I title my messages, quite often I forget that when they put it up on the big screen at church and everyone's sitting there looking at it and it says, The Biggest Troublemaker in the Church, right underneath that, it has my name. Pastor Mike Sasso. And so I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, what was I thinking? The biggest troublemaker in the church, Pastor Mike Sasso. But in reality, if you know me, it's probably true. And so I had to kind of fess up and deal with that. It was just one of those things that I even had people, I'm looking on the audience, I have people in the audience taking out their cell phone and getting a picture of it. Me up on the stage, standing in front of the title that says Biggest Troublemaker in the Church, Mike Sasso, and they're taking a picture of it. So, you know, sometimes those comic relief, those things just happen, you know.
And sometimes that makes it easier for people to receive the message because they've been laughing already.
Yeah, because I'm going to say some things that are a little bit, sometimes, you know, sometimes the word cuts, right? Okay, so it's funny. I started out with a story I think I'm going to share with you. Is I heard the story of a preacher who was going to teach James chapter 3. And so he thought he'd be real clever with it. And he told his congregation, I want you guys to come back next week, because next Sunday, I'm going to reveal the biggest troublemaker in the church. And of course, rumor spread and people were whispering, I wonder who it's going to be. And the pastor actually started wondering, I wonder who's not going to come because I said that. I wonder if there's anybody who's afraid to come to church because I said I'm going to expose the biggest troublemaker in the church. Well, instead of attendance dropping way down, the house packed. People came to church who normally weren't there. I mean, the town came out, you know, only to find out that what the pastor was going to teach on in James chapter 3 is the power of the tongue. The biggest troublemaker in the church is the tongue. Now, I want to share a couple of verses with you. We're going to look at these. Maybe Linda and I will discuss them. Though some of these verses I did look at on Sunday morning, but I didn't have the advantage of having Linda sitting with me up there so we could... I'm going to get her feedback.
And I say enough. When I say amen to things, you always... And my wife just says amen to that.
Well, when I say the biggest troublemaker in the church is Pastor Mike Sasso, you're not supposed to say amen. You know, no, she didn't do that. But sometimes we play off of each other in church. It's kind of fun. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. This is from the New Living Translation. And by the way, if you're looking for a good translation to add to your collection, I have really learned to appreciate over the last couple of years as I've been using it, the New Living Translation. It's not like the Living Bible, the old one, because that was a paraphrase put together by one man. And, you know, sometimes it was looser than it should have been. But I really believe the New Living Translation is actually a scholarly work, and it actually is well done as far as bringing across the true intent, the true meaning of the Greek. So New Living Translation, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, isn't that true? Okay. Well, now, that same verse, Proverbs 18:21, in the Message translation, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And so, you know, I think as we're going to be spending probably more time than we normally do at gatherings, whether it's company, holiday parties, or whether it's family gatherings or neighbors come over, you will be spending more time than normal during these holidays with people. And so it's good to keep in mind the importance of guarding your tongue. Another one, I think we covered this on this station, on this program recently, 1 Peter 3:10, that says, "He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." I forget how long ago we covered this.
Was it last week?
She's my calendar. She's also my compass. She always knows how to get places. She's my GPS. So listen, if you want to have a good life, that's what Peter's saying. You really want to have a good life, enjoy good days, then guard your tongue. "He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Now, so that's talking about lies. But even, you know, there's more than just lies.
That go on at family gatherings, believe me.
No, but I mean, there's a gambit of things that your tongue can do. It's not just one category, the point I'm trying to make. It's not just, oh, I got to be careful not to tell lies, or I got to be careful not to curse and use foul language. Those are all true, but sometimes we just talk about things we shouldn't talk about. Sometimes we say things that make someone else look bad, or are half-truths, or spreading just inaccuracies, you know.
Presumptions.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I wanted Mike to talk about with this is presumptions. That's what happens so many times, and it turns into absolute gossip that somebody may hear something, or they may just think something, and then they voice it to somebody else. There is absolutely no fact behind it. It is just a presumption, and we have to be so cautious with that. And I think especially at the holidays, as you guys are going to be with family and you know who your irregular people are, don't go in with presumptions. Oh, yeah. Uncle Frank, he's going to go on this topic and he's going to yank this person's chain and do this and do that. Don't just presume. Give him a chance. Maybe he's learned from last year. Maybe he's grew up. Maybe his heart has changed. Maybe he's a different person. Now, very possibly no. And you're going to have to know how to handle it. But don't dishonor your family by going in presuming that somebody in the past that's been a troublemaker is going to be one again. A whole year has passed. Something could have happened in their life that could have changed them, okay?
Oh, just give it a chance.
You know, and I'm trying to pull in this presumption and tying it into the family and the holidays. But let me tell you, can you just take that for your whole life and stop the presumption about people, that you presume this because of that, and a little piece here and a little, pretty soon people are just repeating total untruth because they are presuming something, and then they pass that presumption on. Let me tell you, that's where it really turns into, well, that's more than gossip. That's slander at that point, you know. And we want to be so careful we don't do that to people. We don't do that to our family. We don't do that to our friends. We don't do it to a stranger on the street, and we don't do it within our church family especially, okay? Presumption. Hold on to that word. Actually, you should get rid of that word. Don't use it. Don't fall to presuming. When I hear something and I'm about to repeat it so many times, I'll ask myself, wait a minute, do I know that to be a fact? Or am I presuming and filling in facts I don't really know, but I'm thinking, well, it could be, or as Mike said in the sermon, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we need to be careful of those. We need to protect each other's reputations and not presume and tell the worst, because people will believe the worst, won't they? And then people are trying to fight against lies. That how do you fight against a lie? And especially if you don't even know the lie is out there, how do you fight a lie? You know what I mean? If people are just thinking, well, that's what I heard and somebody told me, so I have it on good grounds. Yeah, but that's about me. And I know that's not true. Believe me, being in the position we're in, we get a lot of that. Okay. So we really feel it. So this is a topic that's extremely dear to my heart. I don't want to presume about you, and I don't want you to presume about me, unless we're going to presume better of each other than we really are. If you want to presume good things about me, you go ahead. And I will presume, and I will believe the best in you. And that's one thing Mike and I have just chose to do. We've been burnt many times, huh, because of it. We've chose to believe the best in people. But you know what? If I protect myself, try to put a wall up and not be able to let people get in, not be vulnerable. Like, you see us vulnerable like crazy, okay? But if I put a wall up and decide I'm not going to be vulnerable because people turn it on you, then God can't use me. If I'm not willing to be hurt, God's not going to be able to use me, because then I'm protecting myself rather than allowing the Lord to protect me. So there, I went off on my little rant about presumption, and Mike can get back to a sermon. See, aren't you glad I don't butt in on Sunday morning?
Well, Sunday would last all day.
It would last all day.
Okay, listen, you know, face it, when it comes to the tongue or the words that we say, you know, the reality of it all is, everybody has experienced hurting and being hurt by words of others. You know, think about it. Have you ever been deeply hurt by something somebody said? I'm sure everyone out here listening to me can think of a story that, oh boy, oh yeah, I remember this hurt down to my core. But you also got to realize you've been guilty. You know, have you ever hurt somebody with your words? Have you ever said something that you wish you could take back? Have you ever said something, maybe it was a gathering, maybe it was like me as a pastor, there's times I say something in the pulpit, I think, oh, maybe I need to retract that next week, you know. And then the radio, oh my goodness. You know, you talk long enough, eventually you're going to say something wrong. We're going to talk about, there's a proverb that says that, Proverbs 10:19. We'll talk about that a little later. But the more you talk, the more chance there is of you saying something wrong. And so think about it and be honest. Have you ever hurt somebody with your words? And I really think that there's times, at least for me, that words can hurt more than physical pain.
Yes.
You know, I've had someone one time say something to me that was so painful that I waited till, actually it was somebody in authority in my life many years ago. And I waited till nobody else was around, and I went and I confronted him. I said, look, let me tell you something. What you said to me was very, very painful and very, very, it really cut deep and it really hurt me. And he was kind of like trying to brush it off. Well, I meant it. It's true. And I says, listen, I'd rather have you kick me in the groin than talk like that to me. And I meant it, because, you know, there's some things that hurt, but there's times you can hurt somebody very deeply with your words. And so I don't know if you feel the same way as I do, but I think it's true. Now, we went through James chapter 2 on Sunday morning, and so I'm going to read through some of this. The first verse I'm going to skip, because it talks about teachers, because, you know, the people who are in authority, teachers are actually held in higher higher accountability, stricter judgment. We talked a little bit about that, but I'm going to talk about the average person, you and me out here. Okay?
And we're in James 3.
James, did I say 2? Oops, it's verse 2 I'm looking at. Okay, James chapter 3, verse 2 says this, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, it's funny because I've always said, if you really want to know a Bible text, teach it. Because when you're going to stand before people and teach it, you study it more than just a casual reading. You know, there's quite often we'll read the Bible and we think we know what it says and we jump to some of our own conclusions and we find verses that support our doctrine and so on. But when you're going to teach a Bible passage, you read it, you read it again, you read what other people have said about it, you read it again. I mean, at least for me, if I'm going to stand before God's people and teach the Bible, I better make sure I'm accurately representing God's word. And something that stood out to me this time as I'm going through James chapter 3, verse 2, James says, "For we all stumble in many ways." He says we. Isn't that interesting? Here, James, who's giving us this divine wisdom about controlling your tongue, and he's admitting that he stumbles too. He didn't say, "I know that many of you make mistakes and stumble." But what he's saying is what we've always said. Nobody's perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. Nobody's without fault.
I love that he includes that.
Yeah. And now, at one hand, he says we. And then the other hand, he goes in that same verse, and he says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. He's kind of leaving room for maybe there are some people, and there is a category of folk who can be considered a perfect man.
Jesus, it was man, not men. Man.
Okay. A perfect man. Okay, I agree that's Jesus. But I do believe that that James is referring to a different kind of perfect here. Okay. He's not saying you never make mistakes, you don't do anything wrong, you never stumble. This word perfect in this verse actually means grown up, complete. It means perfect in the way that finally you're of age. Finally, you've arrived. You're not a kid anymore. You're not a baby. You're an adult now, a spiritual adult. Okay, so when James says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body, I think he's talking about spiritual maturity, which you can attain to. It doesn't mean you'll be perfect in the sense that you never make any mistakes, you never do anything wrong, you're never tempted, you never sin. That's not what James is saying. He's saying when you get to the point that you can really control your tongue, now you're a spiritual grown-up. Now you're perfect, which that word perfect means mature, grown-up, okay? Now, I also want to contrast that with something he says in verse 8, which is important to factor in here. In James 3:8, James says, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. No, he just said, if you can control your tongue, you're perfect. Now he says, no man can do it. Okay, now here's the balance. Here's the key to this understanding this mystery. In your own flesh, in your own strength, in your own power, you cannot control the tongue. No one can. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. That should be your constant prayer. Before you get out of bed in the morning, you should pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Watch over me. You know, I heard this story of a man who prayed, God, so far I've done pretty good. I haven't sinned today. I haven't said a bad word about anybody today. I haven't lied or cheated or stolen. I haven't gossiped. I've done pretty good so far. But in a moment, I'm going to have to get out of bed, and then I'm going to really need your help. I'll never forget that story. You know, I just think that's a great way to start your day, though, is to pray, okay? So, listen, this is the music. That means we got to take a station break. But we're going to continue in this study. And if you want to call us, listen for the number we're going to give you in a moment. Call us if you got input, if you got questions, if you want to interact with us. We want to hear from you. So we'll be back in about 60 seconds.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned, Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you would like to text the Sassos, The number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
It always cracks me up when I listen to that. It's like, let's talk about the real things that are going on in your life. And then tomorrow we're going to talk about the make-believe things that are going on in your life. Sometimes the things that go on in my mind. Listen, here's that verse that I was telling you about in Proverbs 10:19, which I really like the way the New American Standard words it. I think it really nails it. Proverbs 10:19, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. I just think there's a principle. You know, I remember years ago when I was a pastor in California, and I used my New American Standard. That was the Bible I'd used for many years. I had this verse up on my desk and a little card to always remind me, because where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Here I was a pastor doing a lot of counseling, teaching from time to time, and the danger for teachers, for anybody who's in public ministry, anybody who does a lot of talking, eventually, keep talking, eventually you're going to say something wrong. And that's what this verse says to me: where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. So don't let there be too many words in your life. You know, you want to keep your life clean and avoid trouble, then don't use so many words. I think it's just a good principle.
You know, that was one of the things we did recommend yesterday for dealing with those difficult people that you're going to have to spend the holidays with, is let them talk. Excuse me. People want to be able to tell their story. They want somebody who's going to listen. And if you just listen instead of talk, they may be the one who puts their foot in their mouth instead of you. I get tired of always pulling
their
mouth. But, yeah. You know, if you let them talk, like I said yesterday, if they're hurting and you just let them talk, when they come to a difficult time in their life, they may actually reach out to you because you listened instead of having to just talk about yourself or refuting them or trying to correct them. You just listened and let them talk. It could open that door that when there's a real crisis in their life, they may turn to you.
Yeah. Let's look at a couple more Proverbs on this topic of controlling your tongue. Proverbs 17, verse 27 and 28 says, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent." Have you ever hung out with somebody? You know, sometimes we could just judge somebody by the way they look. Some people look smart. Some people look like, you know, it's funny. I've had that experience a lot in ministry and just out on the street. You know, there's times I'll look at somebody and I just have a general conclusion. Some people have this clueless look on their face. You know, it's like, I don't know who I am or what I'm doing here or where I'm at. But then they speak up and they're quite intelligent. So you could really judge somebody wrong. On the other hand, some people look really smart. You think that they just look like a brain. I don't know how you could describe by looks. But I've had people who, as soon as they open their mouth and I listen to them talk, you think, okay, your words reveal your heart. Your words reveal who you are, the inner man. Your words reveal a lot of things about you. And it's better, but let's read that again. He who restrains his words has knowledge. So I guess it really doesn't come down to, okay, everybody, just restrain your words. Well, I guess only the smart people, only the people who have knowledge will restrain their words. Some people, they're just not going to change. They're going to be talkers. They're going to talk and dig the ditch deeper because that's just who they are, okay? But that's how you recognize somebody who understands proper principles of Scripture, proper wisdom. They control their tongue. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. This kind of reminds me of an old Abraham Lincoln quote that I heard many years ago, that Abraham Lincoln said that it's better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. I heard that when I was in college, and I wrote it down. I thought, I'm going to remember that one, because really, it's kind of like people might think you're a fool, but you're convinced them you're a fool sometimes when you speak up some of the things that you say. Now, James in this chapter will go on to compare how little things could have such great effect on big things. And he gives some examples here in James chapter 3. Let's look at verse 3. He says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Then he talks about ships, but let's just talk about horses for a second. I know here we are in Idaho. There's a lot of you people out there who are horse lovers, or you raise horses. It always amazes me, and it's always amazed me that when I've been in the presence of one of these majestic animals, how tame they can be. Now, I haven't been around a wild horse. I'm sure it's a whole other story. But I have ridden horses, and I'm by far no expert, but I know that it's important to have confidence. You get up on that horse, you let the horse know who's in charge, and you've got to have confidence because they could smell the fear, you know. And I've really enjoyed, there's been periods of time in my life when I've enjoyed riding a horse. And it all comes down to, of course, you letting the horse know that you're the master, you're in charge. But that little bit in the horse's mouth makes all the difference in the world. And again, talk about the ships. You know, Linda and I have been on a lot of cruises. Of course, James isn't talking about cruise ships. He's talking about sailboats. But we've seen what a difference, of course, nowadays they could turn to propellers,
yeah,
and aim sideways. They've got all kinds of propulsion systems on our ships nowadays that they could make a huge cruise ship move sideways to pull away from the dock. It's a whole other ballgame. Okay, but in James' days, when he's talking about ships, he's saying, although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Oh, see how great a forest fire, a little fire kindles. And so, we've talked about this a bit. And of course, like I told you, a lot of this is from some of the stuff we talked about Sunday morning. But, have you seen, you've been watching the news lately and the great forest fires in Northern and Southern California. And quite often we have them here. We have sometimes our little state is surrounded by fires, and it seems smoggy here because there's fires everywhere. And keep in mind, all that trouble came from comes from a little careless act, a little cigarette butt, someone playing with matches, sometimes even kid playing with magnifying glass. And so what James is trying to say is, man, you could start a lot of trouble with that little piece of meat in your mouth, that tongue. It's not hard to do. He goes on, proverbs that I want to read to you. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Fire goes out without wood. Now, by the way, this is the New Living again. Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. A quarrelsome person starts fights as easily as hot embers light charcoals, or fire lights wood. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Wait, let's stop there. Do you ever notice how interesting, how we are so attracted to rumors? If you're at a company gathering or at a family gathering or whatever, and somebody says, "Oh, did you hear about Mike Sasso?" Oh, it'll get quiet in the room. Everybody wants to hear about Mike Sasso.
Whether they're the person being talked to or not. So people remember that.
Yeah.
As soon as you start talking in a public place, people that you're not talking to start listening and they hear what you may not want them to. And the same thing at family gatherings, like we're trying to help you with the holidays. you start gossiping about one of the family members, you better believe there's somebody who you have your back to, another family member, that's going to be listening to what you're saying. And that could ruin your whole Christian witness to your family.
Yeah. You know, by the way, that's something Linda always warns me about, because as a pastor, there's times I have to talk about a ministry worker, or I've talked to a ministry worker to give him a little heads up and maybe an update about what happened in a Sunday school class or a problem we had with a certain person at church. And I'm talking to the board, or I'm talking to a ministry worker to make sure that they're aware of the situation. And Linda's always reminding me, Mike, there's other people in this room who probably heard you say that. And so I need that. Sometimes Linda could play the Holy Spirit, I've told you before. And I need that because, you know, I get a loud mouth. I talk and everybody in the room hears it, even if they're across the room. And so not only to myself, but to all of you out there, you know, rumors are a dainty morsel that sink deep into one's heart. You know what? Honestly, there's been times of recent when I'll hear somebody say, oh, did you hear the bad news about so-and-so? And I don't want to hear it. I don't. Because you know what? I've lived long enough now that I've heard too much bad news. I've heard enough bad news, especially when it's another pastor falling, another ministry worker in some church, another Christian who's put stain on the name of Christ. That kind of stuff really bothers me. Do I want to hear that? No, I really don't. There was a day when I was younger, really tell me what happened. I think that's what Proverbs 26:22 is saying. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. For one thing, they're dainty morsels because we just love to eat them. We love to take them in. But then they sink deep within us and they affect your life. I'm telling you something, sometimes, you know, it's the old saying, if you heard people say, you just tell them, these ears aren't garbage cans, you know, I don't want to hear, don't put that garbage in here. I think that's wise, if and when we could pull that off and just say, you know, I don't want to hear this stuff. So rumors can be a dainty morsel and they could sink deep into one's heart. It goes on to say that smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. Now, here's something else you need to be aware of, because there are people who you think are wonderful. Maybe they look good. Maybe they have a silver tongue and they have smooth speech. And you think that they said it must be true. But here the Proverbs say that smooth words can hide a wicked heart. That means somebody in your life could have a wicked heart, but they know how to word things in such a way that you just swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and you go, oh, it's got to be true because so-and-so said it, and they just have a way of putting things. Be careful, because smooth words can hide a wicked heart just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. Okay, so James is saying here that we're not supposed to feed that wicked fire of the tongue. And verse 6, he says it in a whole nother way of putting it. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets fire the course of nature and is set fire by hell. Oh my goodness. Can you word it any stronger than that to talk about the danger of our mouth, our words, our language, our tongue? And so that's why I titled my message Sunday, The Biggest Troublemaker in the Church, because probably the most destructive force, what did I hear? I heard one pastor, as I was listening to different pastors preach on this text, was talking about that the one person's tongue can do more damage than one army. You know, so I guess it depends, but I think there's some truth to that. And you can, something else you need to keep in mind is sometimes just suggestive things. Just, you know, I wonder how so-and-so is doing because last time I heard talk to them, they said this. Or just what ifs and add, what is it? I had some fill-ins for the church Sunday. Like, oh, I heard, or I'll bet, or I wouldn't be surprised if. And the thing is, sometimes that stuff could cause so much trouble. Sometimes people, sweet people sitting around a table having coffee and donuts could start talking. And before you know it, they've put thoughts in each other's head, against the church, against the pastor, against ministries in the church, just by posing suspicion or posing questions. I don't know about this. Be careful, because your words can create suspicion or doubt or pose accusation or bring forth even half-truths. Sometimes we know part of the story, but we don't know the whole story. You know, I remember when I was on staff back in California, my pastor, Pastor Jeff Johnson, he was very careful not to air his dirty laundry when he'd stand before the folks, you know, and teach on Sunday morning. And, you know, the years I was there on staff for 20 years, and the years I was there and the years I was on staff, there was a lot of drama in the church. In any big church or any even little church, you wait long enough, you're going to have drama. And there were rumors that would go around. You know, maybe somebody got fired or somebody left the church. There's always rumors that go around. And it always bothered me that my pastor, Pastor Jeff, wouldn't address those rumors and straighten them out, because these people were coming to wrong conclusions. They were wrong. You know, somebody would leave the church and the rumors were, well, I heard that he was disrespected, or he was kicked out, and it was all wrong.
Presumption.
Of course, maybe somebody said something. Maybe they weren't presuming, but somebody else was presuming and said something. Now it's a fact, and it's walking around parading itself as truth. And it would drive me nuts, because I'd be in the pew on a Sunday morning, and right there before church, I'd hear people talking about, did you hear so-and-so is not on staff anymore, or did you hear so-and-so left the church? And, you know, over the years, you hear these rumors, and I wanted my pastor to get up and say, well, some of you may have heard that Pastor so-and-so is not with us anymore. Let me explain to you why. But he would never do that. He just says, open your Bibles to James chapter 3. He would just... And it really actually, over the years, it's modeled for me how to handle a lot of problems, because there are pastors who try to solve their problems by preaching against the things that are going on in the church. And that would dictate the topic of their sermon next Sunday, is what are the rumors going on at the church? What are the problems? Who are the problem people? And he's going to preach against them. I've even heard one time of a missionary that we sent to the Philippines, and he was having some problem with the pastor he went to serve. And the pastor from the pulpit said, sometimes the devil could send missionaries our way to try to help us, and it's the devil's missionary. It's like, can you imagine that? So this kind of stuff could get really nasty and really dirty, and I always remember the lesson I learned from watching Pastor Jeff, is teach the Word of God, and don't preach at people, don't preach at problems, teach the Word of God wherever you're at. I appreciated that.
And that's why we love the Calvary Chapel way, that you go book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And it's really surprising sometimes where the Lord puts you at the right time. But that's the Lord doing it. That's not you trying to solve a problem. They're not ours to solve. Problems within the church, problems within the family. If people aren't asking you for help, we talked about this yesterday, they don't want help. If they're not asking for your opinion, don't give one. But what you can do is pray about it. Lord, intervene. I don't know what to do about this, you know? And the Lord is always so faithful to do that.
Mm. Listen, the text that I just read to you in James, listen to how it's worded in the Message translation. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. You see why sometimes I think it's kind of fun to read other translations. By the way, I've told you before, you know, the Message translation, it can sometimes be very quite colorful. I wouldn't use that as your only Bible, but I think it's kind of fun always to look at how that's wording a text you're trying to study and trying to understand. It's quite interesting. So now we're going to talk a little bit about, in James chapter 3, the importance of walking in the Spirit. Because really, that's what it comes down to. You can't control the tongue. It's going to say that in verse 8. I'm going to read that in a moment.
But that's what we need when we get together with our families.
Yeah.
We need the Holy Spirit controlling us, because you get tired of it year after year, don't you?
Right.
You get tired of the put downs. You get tired of the same old stuff coming up. But that's why we all need to go into these family times together when there's a difficult person there with the Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us. And sometimes you have to just bite that tongue. Go ahead and bite it. You will leave there in peace. You may have been raked over the coals, but you can leave in peace knowing you're not the one that said it. Okay. Yeah. And that's worth so much more than defending yourself at these family holidays or anything. And it leaves a good witness behind when we don't add to the fire.
Right. Now, listen, we haven't heard from any of you today. Now, I don't know if we've gotten some texts or Facebook live streaming because I haven't been able to watch that when I'm doing here. But we'd love to hear from you if you maybe have a question about dealing with a difficult relative during the holidays, or maybe the Lord's shown you some great solutions and something you want to pass along to our listening audience. We'd love to hear from you. Again, the number here is area code 208-377-3790. That's area code 208-377-3790. Now let's just keep reading in James. Unless I hear from you, we'd love to hear from you. James chapter 3, verse 7. James goes on to say, you know, he talked about fire. He talked about horses. He talked about ships. Now he's talking about animals. He says in verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man could tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, that's one of the reasons why the scriptures say so much about use fewer words and don't, you know, just don't use your tongue at all. Because if it keeps flapping, eventually you're going to say something you shouldn't say. That's why I love Proverbs 10:19. You know, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. You keep talking, eventually you're gonna sin. That's what it's saying, okay? So no man can tame the tongue. Again, I just want to remind you, and one of the things we did talk about Sunday morning, I'd like to talk a little bit more about it, is that the first thing you notice when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost is there were what's called tongues of fire on the top of all of the believers' heads, and they began to use their tongues to glorify God. I think that's a work of God, and that's the only one who can control your tongue properly is the Lord. The only way we could put things in proper perspective with our words is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, that's a mighty power, and it's a mighty power that many Christians lack. It's a mighty power we need. That you notice the difference it makes when even in the apostles' lives of how timid and backward and shy and fearful they were until the day of Pentecost. They were hiding. They were praying, but they were hiding. And then the day of Pentecost came, and before you know it, this 120 people or so in the upper room, all the people around, maybe they didn't know there was a prayer meeting going on up there. Maybe they were hiding in fear and praying and whispering. But now the Holy Spirit gave them boldness to glorify God. And everybody who with an earshot of that building, they all gathered around because there was a great gathering. And it was a Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. And everyone came running and wanted to know what is going on. So here's the thing. Your tongue could do great damage to many people, or when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and fills you and you allow the Lord to use your tongue, you could do just the opposite. You could do great good to many people.
Well, see, that's one thing I really want to point out in that scripture is they were glorifying God. If you go to these family meetings and you're glorifying the Lord with what you say, there's not going to be a problem. It's when we try to defend ourselves, right? Isn't that where the problem comes up? Somebody yanks our chain, then we feel we have to defend ourselves. That's not where the Holy Spirit says, oh, here, Holy Spirit says, I'm going to give you a good defense you can give them. No, that's pride. What the Holy Spirit gives us is that ability to glorify God in what we say and possibly even in what we don't say. At that
right,
time, huh?
Right. So you want to control your tongue. You want to use your mouth for the Lord. You know what? Maybe you need to just pray. I mean, our time is limited. I watch the clock. We just got a couple of minutes left. But you get alone with the Lord. and pray and ask him to fill you with your spirit. Ask him to cleanse you of your sin. Confess the sins that you know of. You know, sometimes you don't know of them, but say, Lord, and be specific. Confess those areas of your life and those sins that you need his power, you need his cleansing. And then ask him to fill you fresh with his Holy Spirit. And you know what? He can give you a fresh start this day. And going into the holidays when you've got some gatherings looking forward to, you want to be a blessing and not a curse. You want to make sure you don't do any more damage with your tongue than you've already done. And again, I've confessed to you, I've been the most guilty of this, especially when I was younger. Hopefully it's a lot less now as I'm older. But I remember so many times.
You are getting better, honey.
Thank you, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. I remember so many times as a young couple, we'd go to a gathering, go to a party or something, and I'd leave just shrinking into my boots going, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I told that joke. I can't believe, because I just love to talk. And where many words are, transgression is unavoidable. So I'd always get myself into trouble. And so, you know what? We got an hour show here. And that's amazing if we could go a whole hour without me saying something wrong.
But we haven't done it. We've stuck our foot in our mouth before, and we've had to apologize for it. But keep that in mind. Man, that's why we pray so much before we come in here, because we do have a whole hour almost to speak, and we have a whole hour that we could really blow it and make mistakes and hurt people and say the wrong things. And our goal and our desire is to lift you up, to edify you. And even with this talk we're doing right now, that is to maybe give you some tools and encourage you. Don't be afraid of going to that holiday get together because Uncle So-and-so is always such a jerk. But that you go in that spirit of, I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to talk about myself. If I say anything, Lord, may it be to your glory.
Yeah. Listen, we're just about out of time, but I want to remind you, there's times we think of how to keep pure before the Lord. Look up Matthew 15:18. I hear the music. I don't have time to get into it. But Jesus actually said it's the words that come out of your mouth that defile you, not what you eat and all the different things we think are important. So watch your mouth and let the Lord keep you pure in his sight. Lord bless you guys. We'll pick up here tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mondays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to look up at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to you.